What I'd like to talk about today is allelial chemical behavior in soil environments, some of the work that we've been conducting at Utah State University, specifically on Russian knapweed, and it's the plant you see here. And we're looking at its spread onto public lands, public rangelands, as well as within the national parks. And it has been a real problem. Let me define what allelopathy is first. It refers to a chemical interaction between plants. Specifically, we're looking at phytotoxins that are released by plants, in this case Russian knapweed, that might have inhibitory effects, in some cases stimulatory effects, on surrounding plants or plants that are growing around it. We're looking at Russian knapweed because it's been shown to have both elemental and organic allelopathic properties. And this is just a map showing you the distribution of Russian knapweed. It's 10 years old. Since then, it's gotten much worse. But it's considered one of the more devastating invasive weeds environmentally and as well as economically in the western regions of the U.S. How I got involved in this study was first to look at the zinc dynamics of underneath the soils growing on Russian knapweed stands. It was thought that Russian knapweed exhibited elemental or zinc allelopathy. And what happens here is that the plant's able to gather up a lot of zinc from the soil, hyperaccumulate it as that leaf litter drops down and it starts decaying. It's going to phytoenrich that surface soil to levels that could be phytotoxic to some of the native species growing in the area. And when we looked at these studies, we found that, yes, it did change the bioavailability of zinc in those underlying soils. But really, the levels, the bioavailable levels that we found in those phytoenriched zones were nowhere near the levels that you would need to inhibit the growth of other plants. It was also really unclear if Russian knapweed is a true hyperaccumulator of zinc. But at the same time we were doing these studies, a paper came out and they isolated a compound, 7,8-benzoflavone, from Russian knapweed. And they found that this organic chemical did exhibit had phytotoxic activity in the range of anywhere from 50 to 250 micrograms per mil. So with that in mind, this is the field site, one of the field sites we were working at. It's a dinosaur national monument. But we started noticing that if you walk the field, the spread or areas where you do have infestation correlate with soil properties. Colors, the textures, there's many factors going on. And this has been known and seen that Russian knapweed is more prevalent in finely textured soils. But what we thought might be going on is the higher water holding capacities in these soils may be holding soluble levels of the benzoflavone in the root zone that would be phytotoxic to some of the native plant species growing in the area. And that's what we wanted to look at. And we wanted to get into some sorption chemistry because what we believe could be happening is that the phytotoxicity or the active allelial chemical is actually has to be in the soil solution. So if there are certain soil constituents that are absorbing this material strongly and it's not present in the soil solution, Russian knapweed then can't really do much of a job in terms of inhibiting some of the native plant species. So we wanted to determine how soil properties influence the bioavailability. Well, we're looking at other organic allelial chemicals too, but here we're looking at 7,8-benzoflavone. And so we did some typical absorption studies to see how it behaved in terms of its absorption behavior with iron oxides, organic matter, and clays. We also wanted to look at the influence of soil pH in the region. And we thought that by understanding the conditions where you get maximum absorption, if you could figure out those conditions, then you could add that material to the soil to prevent the further spread of Russian knapweed. So we conducted the absorption studies. We looked at benzoflavone absorption onto different calcareous soils, organic matter, iron. We did standard absorption batch techniques, as well as desorption techniques in the soluble levels of benzoflavone were analyzed by HPLC, and this was done by the USDA Poisonous Plant Lab, which is on the USU campus. What we found is that nearly 100% of the material gets absorbed onto these soil constituents. It didn't really matter what constituent it was. It's just it's aqueous solubility is very low. Far lower, it's less than 1 ppm, and that's far below that active level that I showed you earlier from 50 to 250. Also, we conducted hydroponic phytotoxicity studies where we added benzoflavone to some of these native species, and we didn't find any effect, especially on bluebunch wheatgrass growth, which I'll be talking about here shortly. So it doesn't appear that this allelochemical is the main one that's promoting the spread of Russian knapweed in some of our western soils. So we started to do more bioassays where we were adding different materials to the soils. And before we could do some of these bioassays, we would take a series of native plant species because we wanted to see which ones were actually affected by Russian knapweed. So we did some phytotoxicity screening studies where we would add different plants to these nutrient solutions where their roots were all intermingled. They were all getting the same solution. If things were released or chemicals were released in the solution, it should be affecting perhaps inhibiting some of the plants other than Russian knapweed. And sure enough, we did find that bluebunch wheatgrass, in the presence of Russian knapweed, its growth, its biomass production is significantly inhibited. And that's the plant that we ended up using for many of our phytotoxicity studies. We set up a larger scale soil column study where we then just focused on Russian knapweed and bluebunch wheatgrass. The reason why we're looking at bluebunch wheatgrass too is it's a common grass species used for revegetation at some of these sites. And what we did is we either grew Russian knapweed or bluebunch wheatgrass alone in these columns, or we grew them together, and here you can see kind of a column setup of some of the treatments. What I mean by growing them together, we would have one of the grass species next to the Russian knapweed species, but we would separate the above ground portion using this metal foil. The roots were allowed to intermingle so that any chemistry going on in terms of the rhizosphere would be experienced by both plant species. Half of the pots or columns, they would were controlled, receiving no activated carbon. The other half, we gave them activated carbon at a level of about 4%, or roughly 100 grams was added to these columns. We also looked at texture differences. I won't get into that so much, but we did find that there are some textural differences that do occur here in terms of the results. But our hypothesis here was the presence of the activated carbon, it should promote the growth of bluebunch wheatgrass in the columns growing together with the Russian knapweed. It should promote it because it's acting as a sink for any organic allelochemical that's being produced. And it may also be then inhibiting the growth of Russian knapweed. What we found was a little bit different, but it was interesting. We found that biomass production, in terms of above ground biomass production, was significantly inhibited for Russian knapweed in all cases where it was growing in the activated carbon. We did find that bluebunch wheatgrass, its growth was a little bit better statistically. We didn't see any differences, but it didn't matter if and in the columns where bluebunch wheatgrass was growing with Russian knapweed alone, we did get a little bit of inhibition of bluebunch wheatgrass growth. But it was interesting that across the board, activated carbon affected the growth of Russian knapweed, and that made us believe that there's more going on than just absorption of benzoflavone or any other organic allelochemical. We also find that the roots were significantly impacted in terms of their growth. If you look at root lengths, again for Russian knapweed and bluebunch wheatgrass, we find, and by the way, I forgot to put the symbols there, these are both highly significant, these results. Russian knapweed root length root growth was significantly inhibited in the presence of activated carbon. But what was more interesting is that bluebunch wheatgrass growth, root growth, was promoted in the presence of Russian athlete. And earlier on I said that perhaps these allelial chemicals have stimulatory effect. We actually found where the blue bunch wheatgrass was growing with the Russian knapweed, that effect was even more pronounced. So to date, we're still analyzing a lot of the nutrient results within the study. We just harvested this a few weeks ago. But activated carbon was inhibiting the growth of Russian knapweed, and it was promoting the growth of blue bunch wheatgrass. And we are finding that it is affecting the nutrient dynamics within the rhizosphere. So perhaps there's something going on with nutrient sequestration, and that's something we're going to look at next, that might be causing the spread of Russian knapweed in our soils. Anyway, ultimately we find that organic matter as activated carbon may prevent or inhibit the spread of Russian knapweed. We'd like to look at other organic materials, manures, biosolids, to see if they have a similar effect. But this might be a material that can be used and added to soils, again, to prevent the spread of Russian knapweed. Where we're going with this is, we have our weed specialist is actually conducting a weed mapping on some of the public lands. This is a dinosaur national monument. And this is a typical weeds map showing the infestation out at the Morris Ranch, which is just outside of the border of the park. And we were curious to see if there was any information. We went to 2 minutes. Okay. We went to the NRCS office to see if they'd done any soil maps here, had any maps of organic matter content, texture, whatever. And all they had was just a very general textural map. And so we superimposed the Russian knapweed map over that. And we do find, and this is what we kind of had seen already, it is associated with finer textured soils. Now what we'd like to do next season is go in and actually run some transects and do a little bit more of a detailed soil mapping to see if anything comes out. But what we could do here is, having these maps, we can start targeting areas. If we know that there's areas that Russian knapweed specifically likes to grow in, we can start targeting those areas and applying an amendment such as activated carbon or whatever organic may work to prevent its spread, and then do a revegetation with blue bunch wheatgrass. So again, we're just starting this study here, but hopefully we can find that there's something that could alleviate the successful spread of this weed. Anyway, I'd like to thank some of my co-workers that are on this project. My area is more biogeochemistry, so I've been doing more of the chemistry work, but Dale Gardner is the analytical chemist at the USDA Poisonous Plant Lab. He's been running the actual benzoflavone samples. Tom Monaco at the USDA Forage and Range Research Lab has been helping me look at the ecology of these systems. Crystal Morris and Chris Paul, Department of Wildland Resources at USU, were the first to get involved with the Dinosaur Park study. And Steve Dewey, our weeds extension specialist, who helped me quite a bit on soils mapping. Thank you. We haven't looked at the microbes per se. There is another colleague of mine on campus that is doing some of the microbial work. He did do a study with the activated carbon, and he's attributing it more to what's going on with the microflora around within the rhizosphere.
He's on the right track.
Pardon?
He's on the right track.
And I was doing more of the just general chemistry absorption work. Is there any interaction?
Yeah, it
absorbs to it, takes it out. So if what we thought is that we were removing it, reducing its aqueous solubility, the activated carbon is doing that. But this material has such low aqueous solubility to begin with, I'm even wondering if it was questionable in terms of its phytotoxicity to begin with.